Good morning. We are still in our comma sermon series. I believe we have 2 or 3 weeks left. And today's sermon is entitled Mistaken, comma. Can everyone say mistaken, comma? Mistaken, comma. In our lives, we can mistake for what should be a comma as a period. There are sometimes God wants to pause with us and we think it's the end, but really it's just the beginning. Never mistake a pause with God for the end. Don't do it. Do you know the difference between a cucumber and a pickle? It has to sit for a season in a slimy, gross, external substance, and after some time, the brining it? What is it then? It's not slimy? Vinegary? Okay, to me it's slimy. They're all slimy in there, it's gross. I like pickles, I don't like the process it goes through. The difference between a cucumber and a pickle is the season of sitting in an external source in a jar. That's it. To me, it's slimy, whatever, I guess it's not. Whatever. There's transformation that happens by an external source through a season. That's what I'm getting at here. Same with a comma. An external source is transforming us through a season. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Joseph, multiple times throughout his life, could have easily thought that was the end of his life. It was over. He was thrown in a pit. He was thrown in jail. He was thrown under the bus. Everything. He was just thrown all around, and he could have easily thought that was the end. But in reality, they were simply commas where God was working on his heart. Never mistake when God is working on your heart as the end. Joseph had to do with a lot of pauses, a lot of commas in his life. So why does going through a comma sometimes just hurt? Why does going through a pause with God sometimes just feel uncomfortable? Sometimes what's initiated by the devil, really, God, it becomes God's redeeming factor for your life. You can mistake things where the devil initiates and starts of, oh, this is going to destroy me, this is going to kill me, it's over, woe is me, all that. And God's saying, you know what, I'm going to use this for my good, my turnaround. My thing. Don't allow the enemy to feed you lies and to think that's it. Because ultimately, the devil is after our fruit. The devil's after our fruit. He wants to utilize and turn your comma into a period. But in reality, God wants to take that period and turn it into a comma to make the rest of your life even greater, from glory to glory, to move it on up. Number one, redeeming periods into commas. Redeeming periods into commas. So why? I think maybe this is something we all kind of wrestle with. Like, bottom line, the question, you've all heard it. Like, why does bad things happen to good people? You know what I mean? Like, why? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just minding my own business. Why does the devil have to get up and just make a nuisance in my life right now? Why? Because it's the fruit that you represent of what could be if you complete your comma season. Devil doesn't want that. He's a spoiled brat that got thrown out of heaven, and now he wants everyone else to join him because he's jealous of you. Do you know how fruit works, right? It's like, one seed can create a tree which has multiple fruit, and inside each fruit has multiple seeds, right? You represent one seed Your potential is endless. And the devil sees that and he's scared that if you get planted, there'll be fruit from it. Because there are promises from God to be fruitful. And the enemy is saying, can I just throw you and cast you on that sidewalk to burn in the sun rather than be planted? Because the planting season, if you will, is just like a comma season with God. Sometimes it can look dark. Sometimes you can be thrown in a pit. Sometimes you can feel despair. But in reality, that's God utilizing his time with you to grow you into the fullness of your potential, to rise up with roots strong to support all the fruit that you're about to have. The darkest time of a seed's life is when it gets buried in the ground. The darkest time for Joseph was when he got literally thrown into a pit in the ground. Like, am I gonna die? Am I wrestling with this? I just was so excited a moment ago because God spoke to me and had a dream, and now my dream is in a pit alongside me. My brothers hate me. The devil is scared of these things. So why? Why is the devil trying to turn your commas into periods and God's turning your periods into commas? Why are these things happening? A, the devil's angry because God has a dream for your life. So the devil can't have what you got. God doesn't dream for the devil anymore. He's cast out of heaven. He knows where he's going. God knows where he's going. Just a matter of time. But in reality, God has a dream for your life. It's a purpose, a plan, a plans of good, not of evil. It's a wonderful dream for your life. And that dream has fruit connected to it. And the devil's after it. B, I love this. God has a relationship with you. God has a relationship with you. God will speak to you through dreams. God will speak to you through things. And the enemy's confused and bothered by it because ultimately he had a relationship with God when he would walk through heaven and he was his choir director and doing all the other things he was doing. And he's angry that he got cast out of heaven, and he's angry that now he doesn't have a relationship with God like you have a relationship with God. That's one of the aspects. And then C, God loves you. It's jealousy. God loves you. He is so madly in love with you. Sidebar, side note, if you do something wrong and you feel distant from God, that is the enemy trying to pour salt in your wounds to try to keep you distant from God. And the moment you isolate yourself and pull back from the things of the Lord, the enemy just smiling going, yeah, just take a couple more steps back. Because he's jealous of the relationship, the closeness that you have with God. That's why the enemy is trying to turn your comma into a period, because of those three things. He says God loves you, he has a relationship with you, and he has a plan for your life. The devil's like the salt bay, if you know what I'm talking about. If not, that's okay. Thanks. All four of you. That was like 2 years old, so I'm glad someone got it. Number two, the enemy cripples commas through ... I think I accidentally left off an R on there. It's not in the notes? Oh, okay. So number two, the enemy cripples through ... A, your potential. The enemy cripples through your potential. The idea, the concept behind this, we did a sermon series on Joseph a while ago, and I don't have enough time to go through his whole life story, but one aspect is when Joseph hears a vision from God, sees a dream from God, he goes and he's so excited. You know, have you ever just been like really excited? You just want to tell people, like, listen to my dream, you know? And he goes and tells his brother, and like, ha 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 ha, be in a pit. Like, The enemy is like the brothers. You're so excited. You have a dream from God. And the first thing the enemy wants to do is throw your potential away. He wants to destroy your potential by making things feel dark and dim, like they're never going to work. He wants to throw your potential away. He does it by isolating you, separating you, make you feel like it's not going to happen. In reality, the very thing he's doing to you is what God is transforming in you. See, the enemy steps in and tries to throw your potential in a pit, and God says, oh, thank you for starting the comma. I appreciate your hard work because now it's my turn to redeem you. The whole idea of the comma, the whole comma series is a comma in a sentence is like a breath, right? It's like, I went over to the house. It was wonderful. That was probably a bad grammar sentence. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head. Whatever a comma is, you take a breath during those moments, right? Same with your life when you pause with God. It's like you pause from life, take a step back, and you spend a moment with God, surrounded by his love, built up, encouraged, and ready to take on the next part of your life. See, sometimes the enemy tries to destroy us, but in reality, it's just setting us up to pause with God, to have a comma with God. Your potential. So there's three times that are really evident that I keep wanting to say David, but it's Joseph. I get all my Old Testament guys mixed up. Three times that Joseph really, the enemy tried to take him out. The first time was really with the brothers throwing him in the pit. The second time is this verse, Genesis 39, 7 through 12. It's part of this. And it came to pass that after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And he said, nope, ran away. She was angry, and she ended up talking to her husband, and the husband threw him in jail, another pit. It's interesting. So B, the enemy tries to cripple your comma through your innocence. Your innocence. It's evident in child's lives, but it happens in adults too. Tries to cripple your innocence. What's really the opposite of innocence? How does he do that? It's through guilt and shame. The enemy wants you to live in guilt and shame rather than in innocence. Innocence. Really, think about that filter for a second. How many times we've all messed up? We've all fallen short and sinned in our lives. Me? Probably more so. I don't know. But it's how you respond from it. Are you repentive? Are you ready to go to God? Do you seek forgiveness? Or do you live in the guilt and shame that the enemy wants to throw you in that pit with a jailer holding you in shackles? That's a vivid illustration of what's happening. I was thinking about this. Does anyone aware of the concept of the piñata? I said it that way just for a while. It's like the widest way to say it. Piñata? Have you ever been to a birthday party and you've seen one or done one? Yeah. It's like, it's amazing. I love piñatas. Like, they're up there, they're so exciting that they got all the frilly colors and the designs and the shapes, and they're packed with all these candies and goodies and all these, right? It's just wonderful. And then some little child, with all the innocence in the world, walks up with a stick and beats the snot out of it, and it starts leaking candy everywhere, right? The concept here, the illustration here, is we are like the piñata, filled with all of our dreams and innocence and wonder and all the goodness, and the enemy's like this little kid walks up with a stick going, how you doing today? It starts beating you, so your innocence starts leaking out, and you're left with a hole known as guilt and shame. And you start limping along, like one leg's hanging over here or whatever, and it's like, you know what I mean? We could get really vivid with this illustration, but we're not going to. Don't need that. The enemy sees you like a pinata. The more he can steal away from you, the more of a void you'll have in your heart and in your spirit. Y'all are not going to remember the rest of this message. You're just going to be thinking about pinatas the rest of the time. A year later, remember that pinata illustration? It was so good. The enemy wants to turn your innocence into guilt and shame because he will cripple your comma. Again, what is a comma? It's time spent with God. Do you really want to be spending time with God when you feel guilt and shame? Not really. But that's the time you need to. And so he cripples your comma moment to steal that away by trying to take away your innocence. A little pinata. See, your forgiveness. Your forgiveness. The enemy cripples commas through your forgiveness. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me. This is Joseph telling his brothers who once threw him in a pit, by the way. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You intended. Do you know what the third pit that David got thrown into? It's a mental pit. Joseph. I get them mixed up. I'm sorry. Joseph. The third is the mental pit. It's the pit of unforgiveness. It's almost as devastating as a literal pit being thrown in the ground because it will hold you back from doing anything that you're supposed to be doing. Your unforgiveness is like a prison. Your unforgiveness is like a pit that you have designed and constructed yourself. It'll hold you back from talking to certain people. It'll hold you back from doing certain things. Some of y'all, can we be honest? You've avoided family events because so-and-so will be there, and you're still, I saw a head move. I saw a heads move on that one. I'm just going to look down right now. This one is for real. The enemy cripples commas through your unforgiveness. Joseph could have still been so frustrated and so hurt and so angry at his brothers. He was one of the most he was the second most powerful man in that known world. He could have had him killed with a snap of his fingers. He probably could have had him killed by having his assistant snap his fingers. He was so powerful. But he instead chose to forgive. The enemy wants to cripple your comma through your unforgiveness. You know what's funny? Like this is like the echoed thing that so many people on this earth have such a problem with. Your unforgiveness. It's like you go to church, and we've all been there, right? We're all like, oh man, you know, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Everything he did for me, he died on the cross for my, he has forgiven me. And it's like, oh, it's like, let's go have hug time at church. Not you. It's like, I'll hug you. You know, your unforgiveness is holding you so far back. Let it go. If you're angry, upset at anyone, let it go. I wrote this note down. The enemy's after your forgiveness by having you get even sometimes too. Because you have the potential of fruitfulness and that person has a potential for fruitfulness. And by your unforgiveness trying to get you to physically lash out or emotionally lash out or passive aggressively lash out, whatever it is, the enemy's two birds with one stone kind of concept. After your fruitfulness and their fruitfulness. That was just a bonus. Genesis chapter 39, verse 19 says this. This is the wife scandal, her husband. She goes and tells him. He's upset, and he says, when his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Okay. Go ahead, Virginia. Thanks, London. This is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. What happens when you feel like your life is coming to a period rather than a comma? Joseph's master took him and threw him in prison. Number three, people that keep commas. The idea of this point, I changed out this title probably like 50 times, and I still couldn't find the perfect sentence. So if you think of a perfect sentence, please let me know so I can update my personal notes on this. People that keep commas. There are people in our lives that help us to keep a comma, and not let it become a period. That's the concept of this. There are things that we will encounter when all of a sudden our comma looks like it's turning into a period and we're ready just to throw in the towel and say, I'm done. But there are three types of people that we will encounter to prevent that from happening. That's the idea. So summarize that entire paragraph and get back to me into like a super simple, easy to remember point, and let me know. Genesis chapter 39, verse 21 through 23. But while Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those who held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offered their master, the king of Egypt, offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with the two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. There are three types of people going on in this story as Joseph is dealing with his pit experience, if you will, this prison experience. A, the Lord. The Lord. Mentions a couple times that the Lord was with him. In your comma moment, when you feel like it's coming to a close and feels like a period and feels like just, it's like, ugh, this is ending. It's not going to work out. I need to quit. I need to give up. You got to remember, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. In your most dire moment, just remember, the Lord is with me. If you need help in those situations, you can go to Psalms. Is it Psalms 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because thou art with me. It's a great verse to memorize. Yay. Well, I don't feel like shouting yay. Yay, though I walk. Well, you keep walking. You're not stopping through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, it's a shadow. It's not a thing that's going to hurt you. The Lord is with me. B, yourself. When you are in the pit of despair, you got to remember, yourself is with you. What does that even mean? You have control over where you're at. Don't be helpless. Don't feel weak. You are with you. I am in control. The Lord is with me, and I am present. Some noteworthy aspect of this story is the only reason Joseph was able to get out of this pit was because he led himself well. He was not bitter. He was not angry. He was not frustrated. It said the jailer noticed that he was a good prisoner. Like, That's weird, right? Did anyone catch that? Like, he's so good at being a prisoner. He's like, you know what? You're so good at prisoning yourself. I'm going to have you have more responsibilities of being a prison overseer. That's quirky. He was so good at overseeing himself in this situation that he gained favor to oversee others. In your comma moment, don't take for granted that you are helpless. You need to lead yourself well first before God puts you responsible of having fruitfulness in your next season. You need to lead yourself well. One of the most impactful verses that if you've ever felt like you were in a dry season or a frustrated season or things just weren't happening kind of season, this is the verse. Write this everywhere. This will help you. It helped me. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Listen to this. And David was greatly distressed for the people. This is the King James version, so you know it's legit. For the people spake of stoning him, meaning they spoke over stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Ready? Here's my favorite part. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. You need to lead yourself well. When you are distressed, when you are frustrated, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord, because God is preparing you to be fruitful. But the moment that you are fruitful, you will need to lead others to be fruitful. It's not a one-stop shop. It is a pass it forward kind of thing. And then the third group of people that were found in the jail with Joseph, you had Joseph, you had the Lord, and then you also had the baker and the cupbearer, right? And he was put in charge over them. See, those you lead. Those you lead. Here's the interesting one that most people don't really pay attention to or don't get what's happening. You don't get what's going on here. Sometimes when we're frustrated and it looks like things are just coming to a close, the commas are becoming periods, it looks like you're not going to get out, it's just a dark pit of despair. If you take the step of faith to say, you know what, I might be hurting, but God, I'm going to in faith serve. And anyone you pass along my path, I'm going to pray for. I want to intercede for. I'm hurt, I'm injured, but I'm going to move forward and I'm going to lead well. Anyone that comes along my path. Those are moments that God looks for. Those are moments when God says, I'm stretching you, I'm pulling you, and your comma is not a period. Because the moment you start looking at other people, you take on the abilities and the drive that Jesus had. You become more like Jesus. Jesus didn't sit around going, you know what? I think today I'm having a me day. I'm going to have a me year. I'm going to do good. It's not about you guys anyway. It's about me. Like, you know what I mean? He's not selfish. And we can't have that attitude either. There comes a time when all of a sudden we start stepping out into serving and helping and aiding. All of a sudden, we start putting our feet one step forward. And the enemy wants to keep us back and idle and not doing anything, complacent and comfortable. And the moment we start saying, you know, I'm going to serve, it's uncomfortable, I don't like it. And God's going, yeah, you're having my heart. You're getting it. You're stepping forward. I think it's interesting because Joseph, did you guys notice? Every time he got out of a pit was because he started helping where he was at. The brothers came to him because there was a famine and they had no food. And so he helped them by giving them food. He was able to get past his unforgiveness in that moment because he started serving. He's able to move past the pit of despair because the Ishmaelites came in and dragged him out, and he served them well. He got out of the pit of the jailer from chains because he started serving the jailer well. sometimes serving helps knock the shackles of unforgiveness off of us in the meantime. Those you lead. It's powerful stuff. Let's pray. Lord, work in our hearts, work in our minds, work in our souls. Lord, never let us mistake what a comma is for a period. Let us never think for one moment, this is the end, this is it, I'm giving up, I'm quitting. No, let us understand and recognize the enemy is just lying to us and deceiving us, but we need to move forward. God, it is a comma intentionally spoken over our life for us to dive deeper into your will, into your love, into your grace. Let us move forward with you, Lord. In your mighty name, we love you so much. Amen.